In a world where supernatural gifts mark you for either worship or extermination, Oleander Fallows stands apart, a young woman whose silver hair and void black eyes signal the most terrifying power of all. As a soul render, she can literally tear souls from bodies with a thought. But power always comes with a price. After surviving a car accident that claimed her parents and enduring 2 years of torture at the hands of the resistance, Oleander's gift has developed a mind of its own. When threatened, her eyes darken and her personality transforms completely as her bond, her power's consciousness, takes over. "I'm already a monster," she confesses during a vulnerable moment. "What's a few more souls when I've already taken thousands?" This duality creates her central struggle, reconciling her compassionate nature with the violent capabilities that make her both weapon and target in an escalating war. Imagine feeling a physical ache when separated from someone, a buzzing under your skin, an itch that can't be scratched, a restlessness that won't subside. This is the reality of the bond system, where supernatural connections create unbreakable links between compatible individuals. For Oleander, these connections form with multiple partners, creating a complex web of relationships that both protect and complicate her existence. Knox is a slow itch, Gabe an ache in my chest, and Atlas is restless energy, she describes, each sensation unique to the bond it represents. Blood Bonds portrays a cold war between the supernatural gifted and the controlling resistance, with neither side claiming moral superiority. The gifted operate through a council system with strict hierarchies. Combat abilities earn respect, while empathads and healers face discrimination despite their value. Meanwhile, the resistance functions through decentralized cells and repurposed military bases, where they imprison and experiment on the gifted. The conflict gains complexity with the revelation that about 40% of resistance fighters were kidnapped as children and indoctrinated. Oleander's devastating realization, how many of them were stolen from families like mine, how many were forced into this life, transforms her understanding of those she's fought against. Even the Sanctuary, a mountain fortress housing thousands of gifted, proves vulnerable when betrayal allows resistance forces to breach its defenses. This fall becomes a pivotal moment, revealing that in a society fractured by such fundamental divisions, no place remains truly secure and no loyalty certain. The Draven brothers represent contrasting approaches to power and vulnerability. North, a respected councilman who summons nightmare creatures, maintains perfect composure while possessively guarding Oleander. His shadow creatures, August, a dog-like entity, and a serpent, reflect different facets of his personality. Despite his control, North fears his bond might harm Oleander. Younger brother Knox displays a more volatile temperament. His antagonism toward Oleander stems from deep trust issues. When she accidentally triggers his shadow bond by mocking him as such a good little boy, doing just what you're told, his violent reaction reveals unhealed childhood wounds. His morning ritual after their nights together, vomiting and showering fully clothed to scrub away her presence, reveals his desperate attempt to maintain emotional distance. Though sharing Oleander as a bond, they establish boundaries. North suggesting he'd take her right there on his desk if it weren't Knox's night. This arrangement shows how they've adapted their fraternal relationship to accommodate their supernatural connection without destroying their brotherhood, a balance increasingly difficult to maintain as tensions escalate. Gabriel and Atlas balance the Draven brothers by providing emotional support and physical protection to Oleander. Gabriel, a panther shifter, embodies unwavering loyalty and emotional stability, offering comfort without demands. During the resistance attack, he guards civilians in his panther form, demonstrating his protective nature. Atlas Bassinger, a former resistance member with invulnerability, betrayed his family for Oleander. He recognizes her moral integrity, noting she would break her own heart to do the right thing, a stark contrast to his manipulative sister that drew him away from his biological family. These guardians complement each other perfectly. When the sanctuary is attacked, they leverage their strengths. Gabe guards civilians as a panther, while Atlas uses his invulnerability to accompany Oleander as she hunts enemies. Their contrasting protective styles, Gabe's fierce guardianship versus Atlas's unwavering presence, create a support system that allows Oleander to embrace her powers without losing herself to them. Beneath the supernatural elements lies an exploration of trauma's lasting effects. Each character carries psychological wounds that shape their relationships. Oleander's bond emerged during torture, creating a split personality that compartmentalizes horrific experiences. The pain is nothing, only the girl feels it, and she's sleeping right now. This dissociation serves as both shield and prison, protecting her from immediate pain while impeding complete healing. The Draven brothers carry their own scars. North fears his bond will harm Oleander, suggesting his power once damaged someone he cared for. Nox's aversion to vulnerability indicates past betrayal taught him that openness equals danger. Their contrasting responses, North's controlled exterior versus Nox's volatility, show how similar wounds create different coping mechanisms. The gates have been opened and the shield is down. With these words, their sanctuary becomes a battlefield. The revelation that Sage, Oleander's closest female friend, orchestrated this betrayal forms the novel's devastating climax. Unlike the supernatural bonds, Sage represented pure friendship, making her treachery a purely human choice. Subtle clues preceded this. Sage's frustration with authority, her connection to Kieran who worked with the Resistance, and her concern for others that gains new meaning in retrospect. The final scene captures Oleander's reaction. My palms break out in sweat as I realize I might not be able to handle this betrayal. What makes these supernatural connections fascinating is their interaction with free will. Despite biological imperatives, characters must choose to accept their bonds. North initially resists his connection to Oleander, while Nox actively fights against it, creating consequences for both. When fully formed, abilities become shared. North's shadow creatures recognize Oleander as their mistress, demonstrating how these connections blur boundaries between individuals, creating relationships both fated and fought for. Despite the violence and betrayal dominating this world, blood bonds offers hope through connection. Supernatural bonds and chosen family provide strength to face otherwise devastating trauma. With North, Oleander finds safety despite his power. With Griffin, understanding of her darkest aspects. With Gabe, unconditional support. With Atlas, the promise to stand beside her regardless of her choices. These connections don't erase trauma, but they make survival possible. When Oleander struggles with consuming souls, her bonds offer perspectives that help her process this development. When the sanctuary falls, they unite their strength to protect what matters. This is the true power of bonds, not just enhanced supernatural abilities, but human connection. In a world fractured by fear, these characters choose vulnerability over isolation, creating family where society failed them. Their story reminds us that connection remains our most powerful weapon against despair. The question isn't whether we'll face darkness, it's who will stand beside us when we do.